to ask everyone here to do something today, which I've never asked before. Don't know whether I'll ever ask it again, but I'm going to do it with some courage, and that is that I would like each of you, when the service is over today, to take a copy of this sermon and make sure that everybody who isn't here today gets it. Would you do that? You can make sure people that don't even come to this church get it too. But particularly, this is a message for the body. And I want to be sure everybody in this body hears it. Okay? And I'm going to hand that responsibility over to all of you, that this tape be put in the hands of everyone who is a part of this body who isn't present here today. Many of you have heard this before. You've heard it read here, you've heard it or seen it printed here. And I believe that the Lord wants us to be called back to something that He called us to long ago, and which sometimes we can lose sight of, we can lose focus on. And so I'm going to read here first. This is something written by a man named Theodore Waddell, an Episcopal priest. He wrote this in 1953. It's called A Crude Life-Saving Station. And this is about us. On a dangerous seacoast where shipwrecks often occur, there was once a crude life-saving station. The building was just a hut, and there was only one boat. But a few devoted members kept a constant watch over the sea with no thought for themselves, and they went out tirelessly day and night searching for the lost. Many lives were saved by this wonderful little station so that it became famous. Some of those who were saved and various others in the surrounding area wanted to become associated with the station and give of their time and their money and their effort for the support of its work. New boats were bought and new crews were trained. The little life station grew. Now, some of the members of the life-saving station became unhappy in time because the building was so crude and so poorly equipped. They felt that a more comfortable, suitable place should be provided as the first refuge of those saved from the sea. And so they replaced the emergency cots with beds, and they put better furniture in the now enlarged building, so that now the life-saving station actually became a popular gathering place for its members. They took great care in decorating it beautifully and furnishing it exquisitely, for they found new uses for it in the context of a sort of club. But fewer members were now interested in going to sea on life-saving missions. And so they hired life-saving crews to do this work on their behalf and in their stead. Now, don't misunderstand. The life-saving motif still prevailed in the club's decoration and symbols. There was a liturgical lifeboat, symbolic rather than fully functional, in the room where the club initiations were held, for example. So the changes did not necessarily mean that the original purpose was entirely lost. About this time, a large ship was wrecked off the coast, and the hired crews brought in boatloads of cold and wet, half-drowned people. They were dirty people, and they were sick people. And some of them had black skin, some yellow skin. The beautiful new club, as you might imagine, was thrown into chaos, so that the property committee immediately had a shower house built outside the club where the recent victims of shipwreck could be cleaned up before coming inside the main clubhouse. At the very next meeting, there was a split in the club membership. Most of the members wanted to stop the club's life-saving activities for being so unpleasant. as well as for being a hindrance to the normal social life of the club. Some members insisted upon life-saving as their primary purpose, pointing out that indeed they were still called a life-saving station. But these few were finally voted down and told that if they wanted to save the lives of all the various kinds of people who were shipwrecked in those waters, they could begin their own life-saving station down the coast. And so they did just that. Now, as the years passed, the new station down the coast came to experience the very same changes that occurred in the older initial station. It evolved into a club, and yet another life-saving station had to be founded to restore the original purpose. Well, history continued to repeat itself, so that if you visit that seacoast today, you will find a great number of exclusive clubs along that shore. Shipwrecks are frequent in those waters, but most of the people drown. Theodore Waddell, 1953. Sometimes I think we imagine that there is a difference between us and those who are found in the troubled waters. Somehow we imagine that there are two categories, the helpers and the helped, and that we, having either never been troubled, we imagine, or having been rescued and now better, somehow set ourselves apart from, and folks even are disturbed by the dysfunction, by the uncomfortableness of those who are still struggling. We don't like looking at them because they make us feel funny. So we'd rather they not be in our club. That's not what the Lord called resurrection to be, ever. Ever. The Lord has made this a place for every one of us, no exceptions, to be healed. Every one of us to be pulled in from the sea, cared for, healed, and trained to go out in a lifeboat to get others. And that is all we dedicate ourselves to, is to live in that constant watchfulness, that constant willingness and readiness to go out. And also to put up with those who have been dragged in, who are dirty and sick, the wrong color, the wrong kind of clothes, they don't smell quite right. It's all of us. Sometimes we don't smell quite right in different ways, but ultimately it's all of us. Sometimes that odor that comes off of us is pride. What the Lord desires from us, and the reason He gifts us with such worship, the reason He gifts us with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, is to do that job He has set us to. No one is invited to come in here, even rescued, even cleaned up, and then simply rest and enjoy all of the benefits of what the club has to offer. No room for that ever. There is a time for that recovery and that rest and that restoration, but the intention is that every single one rescued becomes rescuer. Every single one, no exceptions. And every single one, having been trained up, having been gifted by the Holy Spirit to be rescuer, does not look at anybody else still being rescued, still covered with seaweed, still sick, still not attractive, and say, I'm not comfortable with them here in this life-saving station. Couldn't we clean them up first before they come in? This is not what this place is called to, ever, 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 ever. The Lord has blessed us to be a life-saving station, not a club, ever, ever, ever. And so, Lord, I pray that you would convict every heart here, mine included, that we are never to look at those who are in trouble and imagine that they are somehow different than us. Scripture tells us that everyone sins, everyone is lost. And all are saved only because the first lifesaver, Jesus, made the way for us. Gave us the lifeboat himself. Gave us the Holy Spirit for courage and power to go out there day after day after day. Lord, I pray that every heart here would be so convicted that we know who it is we serve and what it is we are called to do, and that we never lose sight of the great gift that you have given us. You, as the rescuer of all of us, have saved us that we might be made in your image and go out day after day to bring others in, to love them and to share who we are with them without disdain, without condescension, with recognition that we are all lost without you and we are all saved only by you. This is the word of the Lord. Amen.